You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL, Quality of Life. Well, you might be listening to this on, well, the radio, 6 o'clock on Thursdays. You could also be listening asynchronously. Podcasts are always available 24/7. Just Google my name, Hugh Cruzell, that's K-R-U-Z-E-L, and the word podcast, and you'll find that Spotify and many other platforms carry these programs. You can also use Radio Garden. Just rotate the globe. It's a marvelous app. You rotate the globe, you find Canada, you find Ontario, you find Sudbury, you find CKLU 96.7. It plays synchronously at the same time. But what a world, what a place to go and find information, music, entertainment. This program, well, I add a little bit of music, and I hope it's entertaining, but mostly it's informational. Today's guest, Matt Bonin. Matt has, he's a first-time author. He has written a book, and I'm going to, with this interview, explore what the book is, the title, its contents, and Matt's general thoughts about what he put into writing a book, and I understand there's a second on the way. Matt Bonin, tell me about your book. What's the title?
Well, first of all, I'm super impressed with that intro. That sounded like pre-recorded stuff, like, you know, but that was a one take done. So I'm still like, whoa, you just nailed that out of the blue. So I'm still processing that.
Close my eyes.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, you know, it sounds like one of those pre-recorded things. What was the question again? I was just in awe there watching you do that. Yeah.
It's about your book.
Oh yeah. What's the book about? Yeah, sure.
Well, what's the title for starters?
It's called Light from Darkness. Yes. Yeah, so it's called Light from Darkness.
There is some promotional stuff out there already, or at least you've already put things on Twitter a little bit. Or where did I read about it?
I'm just getting my proof in today. Actually, the first proof copy is being mailed to me, and then once I approve that, then it's starting to get printed.
Printed.
So the book is done, and it's in the printing process
right
now.
Light into darkness.
Light from darkness.
Ah, yeah. So it's a progress from something perhaps not so to something better?
Yeah, it's kind of life philosophy / slightly autobiographical.
Hmm.
So it tells the story of me being deeply depressed in my late 20s to where I am now today. Hmm. It's not like my whole life, but like a section of it. And just kind of tells my journey of being having no quality of life. You know, show is called Quality of Life, but having no quality of life to having a life that is enjoyable.
Mm. Were you deep in a well? Is that what would that kind of capture some of it?
Yeah. So, I'm a mental health advocate. So I'm pretty open about it, and it's a little bit terrifying to put this out in a book.
Oh yes.
So the big reveal.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is a very scary book to publish. So people are like, oh, you must be so excited. Yes, there's some excitement, but also some deep fear.
Yes.
Because it's a very vulnerable book, and it's stuff that you don't usually share with people face to face. You know. So it is pretty scary.
We are
scary.
Now, but yeah. we both agreed if there's something that you're uncomfortable about.
Yeah.
Just say,
I will,
let's
for sure.
Let's divert for a second, or let's stop and pause. It's happened. This program is pre-recorded. It's available, you know, because I do edit it down. I'll be very open and honest to you out there in Radio Land. There are pieces sometimes that I need to remove just because of the way the story is progressing, the comfort level of the person being interviewed. Today, I think Matt and I don't know. I only met Matt in a coffee shop. Is that
that's how I meet most people.
Is that your best?
I pretty much live in the coffee shop, yeah.
And not to advertise necessarily, but I will say it, Salute Coffee on the Kingsway.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, well, free advertising for Salute, because it's my unofficial office.
Tanya has another place in the South End here on Armstrong. Do you ever use that one?
Yeah, I bounce back and forth between the two. Yeah.
Different feel, different vibe.
Yeah.
Definitely. Great coffee.
Fantastic.
Mm. I've certainly met a lot of people there. We met for the first time last week, and through a mutual friend, who, again, you've only met at the coffee.
Like I said, like, it's my unofficial office. You know, that's where.
Yeah. Do you write there?
Yeah, that's where the book was written. Pretty much the whole book.
But I am sure that every morning when you got up, some of that writing was already in your head, just needed to go from your fingers to the keyboard.
It was a process, for sure. It took me 2.5 years to write, and then I went through 6 different versions of the book.
So, editing.
Yes. Yeah, I edited over and over and over.
Was it bigger at some point in time?
It was much bigger. I chopped ruthlessly chopped a lot. I think when I finished the first draft, I was like, whoa. And then as soon as I started editing, I needed to take a step back because I immediately chopped entire chapters. And it was just hard to...
Isn't it called Kill Your Children?
I don't know what you call... I would call it that.
I think that's the proper...
Yeah, it is.
Writer's term for it.
Yeah, so when I first started the second edit, I had to take a step back because it was frustrating to...
Did you take a pause too?
Yeah, I took a few weeks off because the first thing I did when I started editing was chop entire chapters. And I'm like, oh my God, all this stuff I put work in is gone.
Well, I mean, is it totally gone or will it loot?
Totally gone.
Oh no, because I thought...
Well, I kept files of it, okay, but it's not being published.
Because it could be a springboard for anything else that's happened.
Well, I think I was not a writer. So when I started writing, there was a huge difference in the quality near the end of the book versus near the start of it.
And so when you went back...
I had to rewrite everything. At least I had those ideas on paper, but I basically rewrote all those first chapters, which was hard to do, to chop these pages that you've spent time,
words
and
that you've sweated over. Is this the right word? Is this the right... In knowing about writing, some of the people say, just put it down and come back to it. And so it sounds to me like you followed the process that some have outlined as being successful without really knowing that that was the route you should be doing. So bravo to you.
Thank you. Well, I think I've learned, especially through my story, that you can pretty much get good at anything. You get good at everything, pretty much anything.
10,000 hours.
I mean, it can be a lot quicker than that. I believe it's a lot quicker than that if you have mindful practice.
Ah.
So I think you can become an expert much, much quicker than 10,000 hours. I think that's a myth. You do need to put time, energy, effort in. But if you find the right people, if you talk to the people who have invested 10,000 hours and they're the ones training you, they're the ones coaching you, it's going to take you a lot less time than it took them.
Yes. Yeah. Why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I spoke to authors.
You did.
I did speak to a lot of people to try to help me write and create this.
Because everybody pretty much says there's a book inside of me. I just need to get it out.
I think everybody could write a book for sure.
Yes.
Don't necessarily want to or need to. Like, I would recommend it if it has something in it for you. Don't write a book to you write a book for other people, but you also write it for you.
Is this a book about healing? Was the writing of the book a healing process?
100%. So if I were to use two words about this writing process, it would be healing and cathartic. So it's an incredibly difficult book to write. Very, very difficult. But in a sense of having put it in the pages, you don't have to carry it inside you anymore.
Is it a book that I could open the first page, read that one, and go to somewhere, anywhere in the book, I could continue? Or is it truly a progression? Or could I read the chapters as independent stories? Or is there a travel through this, sort of a travelogue that leads right to the end, to your destination?
Some of them yes, some of them no. There is kind of a thread through time.
So it's not short stories?
No. It's kind of like I said, life philosophy / autobiography. So it tells about my wellness journey of going from that deep, deep, dark place.
Yes.
And then people look to me today as an example of joy.
Oh, you've been laughing. You've been engaging. I'm feeling a little bit gray this morning, and you're just bright, shiny light.
I love it. Yeah, I love putting that vibe out, but I'm not always that way, and I haven't always been that way.
Would we say, and I'm just speculating, I'm no healthcare professional, and I make that very clear to everybody, but maybe your age, maybe the journey that you had has led you to here, which was necessary to happen?
Well, I think that's the whole point of the book, is light from darkness. Mm-hmm. So we have a society that kind of neglects suffering, turns a blind eye to it.
Don't want to know about it.
Don't want to know about it. But when you deny darkness, it only deepens.
Right.
So if I say...
And lengthens.
It deepens and lengthens. Mm. So the darkness is there. The suffering is there. We have, when you're suffering, you have this whole extra layer of suffering because you're suffering because you're suffering.
Right.
And so if you can remove that layer, that's a whole extra layer of suffering gone. So if you can stop being ashamed of suffering, then you're suffering less. And when it's okay to suffer, then you start to heal.
Yesterday, I think, was Bell Let's Talk Day. did you find, and in your book, do you talk about professionals who have intervened, friends who have intervened, even yourself trying to redirect thoughts? I know that's a whole pile of questions.
No, I've done right a lot there. Of therapy for sure. Therapy, I'll boast for him. We're boasting about Salute. I'll boast a lot more about Dr. Lahiviai.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So he's my therapist and fantastic. You know, so that was a lengthy, painful process as well, but also very healing and allowed me to switch my mindset. Yeah, I'm proud of myself too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he was probably proud of you the entire time because too often I think we're very self-deprecating and self-critical. Sometimes it takes somebody on the outside, not a professional even, to say, hey, you know what? You're a great person. You know, don't, you know, but that sounds like they're diminishing sometimes your pain and suffering and where you are. Oh, you know, don't, it's just, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. It'll pass over. Did people say that to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think like we have a society that doesn't know how to be there for other people because we haven't been taught that skill.
Well, you talked about mindfulness.
Yeah.
Do you follow a specific school of thought in your world? I know that...
Not a specific one, but I do meditate a lot. Uh-huh. And I was a Carmelite brother for a while. And right now I read voraciously. So I've read a lot of Buddhist texts. I read all spirituality. It's just kind of, I'm an explorer and a seeker. Mm-hmm. And I meditate daily. So definitely that makes a big difference.
Gosh.
But back morning, to the light from darkness. Oh, yes, I just want to get to the back to the core idea of the book.
Yes.
But the core idea of the book is, you know, for a long time, I was ashamed of my story. Hmm. And so my own pain, my own suffering was a source of shame. And so I was suffering because I was suffering. And then once you embrace that part of yourself that you don't want to embrace, that dark piece of yourself that you might find ugly or shameful or whatever, and you realize that you can use that exact piece of you to give hope, to give light, to give inspiration, then you switch the story you're telling yourself in your mind. That is healing. And then you use your own suffering to heal. And then, you know, this is hard work, like sitting down to write or doing mental health talks, or, you know, it is hard work, but it's also been incredibly healing and incredibly inspiring when people send me messages or emails.
How are they know this book is coming? You've actually been doing talks out there already? People are...
Yeah, I'm a speaker. So if people want to book me for speaking, definitely. I had a talk at Nipissing University just this Tuesday, actually. Mm-hmm. So I just talk to people.
Students.
Students at the teacher's college.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So the teacher college.
Well, that can be a difficult place to play.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think teachers, because as an adult, you're working alone with a group of young people. It's a very solitary work in many ways until you go to the staff room or say hello to friends in the morning or the evening as you're going home. It's quite solitary work, and that could lead to...
Yeah, I was a teacher before swimming.
Oh, my goodness.
So that I've been all... My life path is not linear whatsoever.
Ah.
I've been all over the place, so...
Well, what... So there's book number two. I was kind of going to a what's next.
Yeah, so
Matt
like
Bonin.
Book number... I don't know if like... I think like I have this very open mindset. Like when I hopped in the pool, I didn't know that that would lead to swimming around Manitoulin Island. So when I started swimming, I couldn't swim a pool length. And then a year and a half later, I didn't swim. I tried to swim around all Manitoulin Island. I swam halfway around it. But I didn't know where that was going. So I have this sort of very open attitude towards life of receptivity of what comes. You have plans, you have whatever, but like life's way too complicated to have a plan for. You know? So you have to be open to what
too
happens.
True.
So the plan right now, but I'm open to that changing, is I've been writing book number two on joy. Because book number one was not a fun book to write.
Right.
It was very painful, but healing. Catharsis. Mm. I don't want to be just the suffering dude. You know? I think that's important. Like my life goal is alleviate suffering, radiate joy. So I think with that first book, I've touched the alleviate suffering bit.
Yes.
And with that next book, I wanted a book that was fun to write and that I would enjoy writing. Right now it's just kind of like, it's not a book. It's just kind of scattered meditations. I've got about 10 pages already.
Right. So a bit of an outline where you're,
But I just talk to people. This is the question I ask. So feel free to ask it. It's a good icebreaker.
Out there in Radio Land. Here's the question.
It's a good icebreaker too. So like I just ask people cause I'm researching it now, but When I say joy, what comes to mind to you? What experiences, or when I'll just keep it very open. When I say joy, what comes to mind to you?
Right, like a baby's smile or
whatever, personal for you.
Yes, yeah, or society-wide. Oh gosh, yeah, or community-wide. What brings us joy? Successes of various programs. You know, if there's like right now, if I could still ski, I would. You know, bad knees, things change. Skiing used to give me joy. I certainly love being out in the natural environment. But you know, out there in Radioland, ask yourself, just pause for a second and say, well, Matt's posed the question, what brings you joy? Wow.
Whew. So yeah, just thinking about it, having these conversations. If I ask you what brings you joy, and then sometimes people take 5 minutes to think about that question because the answer doesn't come immediately.
No.
But then they start sharing that with you.
And they open up.
And they're reliving it.
Yes.
And as they're reliving it, it flows into you. And then like, so in writing this book about joy, I've been experiencing so much more of it, you know, that's the mindfulness piece, right? So I'm very mindful about the books I choose to write. And it, who knows, this one might not end up as a book, but I'm just enjoying the process. I'm enjoying what's happening now. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a marvelous thing. I mean, it's sort of like chicken soup for the soul, but, you know, not just little snippets. It sounds to me like you're encouraging people to really push aside some of the daily pain and go, you know, there's daily pleasure too.
I think you don't want to push aside the daily pain for sure. I think there's those are two separate skills,
yes.
Right? So if you try to suppress pain, that doesn't work. It only feeds it. Because if I say don't think of a teapot, I'm saying teapot because there's a teapot in front of me. If I say don't think of this,
I will.
You think of it, that the mind doesn't work that way. So if I say don't feel sad, don't feel angry. That's what we do, like automatically, because we don't want people to feel this way.
Right.
But when you say that, you're reinforcing the very feeling you're trying to negate.
Mm.
And when you do that to yourself, same thing. You don't want to feel sadness. You don't want to feel angry. You don't want to feel whatever you're feeling. And in not wanting to feel what you're feeling, you're only strengthening it.
There used to be an animated fish at my barber shop. And we used to sing the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. It's funny, I should laugh about that. That brings me a little bit of joy. Matt Bonnet, you asked me what brings me joy. You actually asked that when you entered to talk today. What brings you joy?
Oh, so much. So much, yeah. It changes, like, with seasons of life, right? Because I was swimming full time, but I burned out. So then swimming stopped giving me joy. Swimming gave me so much. But then I kind of burned out from that, and so I haven't been swimming since Mantulan. So there was a little lost period there too. Now it's rock climbing, it's yoga,
yes,
it's writing, it's doing this, having coffee.
Yes.
Cup of coffee with a friend, you know, cup of coffee, just chatting. Writing this new project has brought me so much joy. It's already led to places and conversations I couldn't have predicted.
No. It's interesting.
It's like you're inclining your mind towards joy by thinking about it. So you could train physically. Like if I lift things, my muscles get stronger. But if you incline your mind towards joy, if you start thinking about joy consciously, then you start to experience more of it.
Mm.
And I'm not saying live in denial of your reality. Because I think...
Yeah, little Susie Sunshine.
Yeah, right? No. Because if someone... You can be in so much pain that you're unable to experience joy.
Right.
And I've been there.
Hmm.
And I've spoken to people who have been there. So if you say, oh, just be happy, like, no.
No.
You need to look at suffering, allow suffering to be, allow it to heal.
Some people say that Charlie Brown, the comic strip, captures just about everything that we need to know in life. Lucy with the psychiatrist is inside Charlie Brown with his, you know, his successes and failures and the ball being taken from him, the prize, the other one with the blanket and, you know, the joy that brings him, playing the piano for another one. It's hard to, I just saw a comic, actually an animated version of that just recently, and it struck me that a lot of life is just right there. And Charles Schultz, thank you so much for what you've done.
As a teacher, I remember the wah, 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 wah. Yes. That's what I think when I think Charlie Brown.
Exactly. He never...
The teachers were just these...
I think almost all adults in Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
So the audience out there might not know about Manitoulin Island. They might think it's a little island in the middle of, say, Ramsey Lake or whatever. Manitoulin Island, just so that you know, I mean, Matt's done, this is pretty amazing. It's the largest island,
freshwater island.
With the freshwater lakes, with whatever. When you fly across Canada, you really, you see it from tip to tail, and you realize just how vast this is, and to swim around the circumference of this.
I didn't make it, but I made it halfway. Yeah, super
still,
awesome.
Don't do, yeah.
For sure.
I've never
awesome.
Done that.
Yeah.
Well,
neither have I. Yeah. Well, I have now, but.
If your message is out there, this book, which is really the message, what kind of audience are you thinking there's going to be? Teens who read this? Moms, dads, grandmas.
When I wrote it, I asked myself, who's going to read this? Yes. And I did it for me to heal.
Right. Do you have a cover chosen for it and
yeah.
everything? Is it you know, highly attractive that people go like, I want to pick that book?
The cover is basically a lake. And then it's kind of the sunshine as the sun is rising. It's the sunlight in the darkness.
Right.
And I wanted a picture of my swim across Lake Wanapate. And that was what the picture
quality. That's another one.
The picture quality wasn't high enough.
Yes.
But that was the inspiration behind the cover.
That's a pretty big lake too, Matt. I mean, when I fly in from Toronto or anywhere into Sudbury and you're traveling across Lake Wanapate, you go, that's a big lake.
Yeah, it was a big lake. It was a pretty wild swim.
And
it was fun.
Cold.
Yeah. It was, I swam in the cold and the dark, you know, swam, started before the sun was up, and it was a cool swim.
It was formed by a meteorite, I believe.
And yeah.
So it's deep.
Super deep, and,
yeah.
Super deep, super cold, massive waves. If there's wind, the waves pick
was
up.
Was the direction quick. Out towards the sandbanks, towards the dunes?
Yeah, so I started on the dunes.
Oh, you started.
And then I swam right through the middle to Tony's Marina. I was swimming in memory of Evie Cacciotti, my friend Chris's son.
Right.
And so it was a fundraiser for NeoKids. So we ended up raising $12,500 for NeoKids.
He was gone before the age of 4, I think.
Yeah. So it was, I think that's why the picture was so representative of it. And it's kind of what we did was representative of that. Because I remember right when we started that swim, it was dark. It was an emotional swim for sure.
How long?
It was 6 hours, 10 minutes. Mm. And then I went to go dive in, but it was about knee depth because I was really nervous and I just wanted to start swimming.
Right.
But I started trying to swim when it was only knee depth. And then I just kind of burst out laughing because
right.
I was trying to swim in like knee deep water.
Not necessary. Right?
Yeah.
You need to get further.
And
out.
We all just started laughing. And that was very metaphorical to me of just laughing in the darkness. You know, just laughing.
This swimming.
In the middle of it.
Crossing the Straits of Juan de Fuca by Marilyn Bell. Crossing Lake Ontario. Again, Marilyn Bell. In fact, one of the Toronto vessels that crosses between the island and Toronto Harbour is called the Marilyn Bell. And crossing the English Channel.
Yeah, she was the first to swim in Lake Ontario.
Yes, but these are all sort of huge milestones. People doing it. Did you have a guideboat with you as well, just to make sure you were healthy?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. So for Wanapate, it was...
Do you slather yourself with bear grease and stuff?
I had a wetsuit, so usually you don't. Like, for the official sport, they don't wear wetsuits, but I had, like, a sleeveless, which does
just
make
to keep
a difference,
your
for
core.
Sure. Yeah. The wetsuit definitely makes a difference, for sure.
Oh, like Wanapate would
yeah.
suck the life out of you, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so I had a wetsuit, which makes it a lot easier, for sure. Sorry, I forget your question. Got sidetracked there.
Oh, about, you know... Making these kind of monumental steps, it could be Edmund Hillary going to the top of Everest. It could be anything. The people crossing the think of those who were trying to get to the North Pole or the South Pole. You know, there's these goals, these miles.
Sometimes that's the book. Sometimes it's just getting out of bed. You know, sometimes that monumental step is just getting out of bed, and that's where my journey started.
Your depression was that bad
that
you
bad.
Could not get out of bed.
No. And so that's where it started. And so people look at the things I've done and they don't see the journey that's gone into there. And people don't think they can do the things I've done. And I say I can do the things I've done, not in spite of my mental illness, but because of it. Mm-hmm. And that I switched the story because there's so much shame, so much stigma about having depression, anxiety, or any form of mental illness. But I just use it as a form to empower me. It's I've overcome this.
It's 2024.
Yeah.
Do you think we're better at understanding accepting and negotiating with depression?
We're definitely better, but we definitely have a long way to go. Hmm. Definitely better, because when I was like in high school, we never said the words depression.
Oh, I don't think it was ever talked about.
No.
No.
And at least it's being talked about now. But I wouldn't go to the point where it's accepted. You know, I do get judged when I'm depressed. And those who know me well know me, you know, understand the experience. But you can't empathize with something you don't understand.
True.
And so that's another thing I've tried to do with this book, is to try to help people understand. Hmm. And the truth is, like, maybe understanding is too much, because I live with it and I don't understand, yeah. You know. But at least if we can reach the level of compassion.
Don't you wish we had a little USB port in the back of our head where you could plug in and you could figure, just like car diagnostics?
Oh, heck no. My brain's crazy enough. People don't want to tap into that.
No, but you can find out what the error codes were. Those error codes will tell you how to fix something. But we're not always fixable, and it's not always drugs.
You're not
or
a project
therapy.
To solve. I think that's the big thing too. You're not a problem to solve. Huh. You know? And I think the trap that even I fell into, and a lot of overachievers trap, like, people look at me accomplishment and go, wow, but that comes from a void, if I'm being transparent. And the trap is, I'll be worthy of love when. But you never reach that point. You never reach it. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you do, you never reach that point unless you can do that now. Because you're not practicing the skill of self-compassion, self-love in the meantime. Because it's got love backwards. Love is not this conditional thing. It's not something that's earned. It's a gift. You just gave me coffee as I walked into your house. Did I earn this coffee? No, you were just generous and you gave it to me. I've earned it? Sure. I've earned it, fine. But you know what I mean, right?
Yes.
Like, you don't need to earn a gift.
Right.
And so you need to gift yourself that compassion. Hmm. You need to gift yourself that self-love and that acceptance. Hmm. And you need to remove, like, most people who don't accept love consider themselves not worthy of love. Hmm. You are worthy of love.
Interesting.
You are. Just as you are worthy of love. And once accept
but
that reality.
Generally.
I was talking about Radioland, but you too.
Yes,
you too,
yes.
You.
You know, in the last few minutes that we have here, Matt Bonnet, we should remind the audience that you are a speaker. You're available for booking.
Yeah,
people
I come
want
speak,
to.
I consult,
high schools,
I speak, consult, workshops.
Adults, kids, teachers.
Anywhere there's suffering and anywhere there
well,
needs to be joy.
Well, we don't know. Sometimes we need to turn that rock over and see what's underneath. And you're right. So, speaking, the book, tell us the title again.
Light from Darkness.
Available when?
Starting March 23rd.
How?
I don't have that many copies because I just printed I don't have any money. I quit my job to swim around an island. So.
Right.
I printed 500 copies because that's all I have the money for.
Will you go to like the Saturday market? Like,
we're doing a book launch, okay. March 23rd, 11 a.m. Seasons Pharmacy. So come have fun, celebrate. I'll have lunch, coffee, tea. It's a gift.
Yes, okay.
You don't need to earn it. It's a gift. Come eat, have fun, and celebrate.
Rochelle
and I'll give you a
Laurie
book.
Will be there, and your friends will be there. It's a great
party. Yeah, just party time. I've worked 2.5 years on this. And it was hard, and I want to celebrate with family and friends.
Excellent. Book again, Light.
Light from
Darkness. It's available for you very soon. Just, I imagine if you just Google that soon, you'll find it. And if you put Matt Bonnet's name in, plus the title of the book, you'll definitely find it. You know, it's wonderful to have these interviews with people over a cup of coffee. Very diverse interviews, for sure. This is another one in that series, I guess. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program was and is QOL, Quality of Life, on CKLU 96.7. Join us again next Thursday, every Thursday. Bye for now, folks. Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you. That was fun. I enjoyed that.